All right, if you turn this morning with me in your Bible to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, after in chapter 10 and chapter 11, the prophecy given to Daniel about the future of the people of Israel was certainly very discouraging, was very dismal, a picture of the future of the Jewish people of which Daniel was a part of. And certainly it was very difficult for him to learn of these things from the Lord, what the Lord said was going to happen to the people of Israel. And of course, chapter 10 and 11 talk about the next few hundred years of the history of Israel from 400 BC, and really covers the next 200 and some years of their history. And then it jumps into the future to the tribulation period, in which Israel will be the center of the persecution of all the nations of the world, as well as the Antichrist and the and the one world government and religion and economy of the Antichrist. And so it will be a difficult future for the people of Israel. But in the midst of this, we have a few words of encouragement. And that's what we're going to look at today. The encouragement to Daniel concerning the future of Israel. And that's where we're at today in chapter number 12 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, it says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and to everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." We have three great words of encouragement to Daniel concerning the people of Israel. First of all, the encouraging word is that despite all the fact that Israel will go through a time of trouble that has never been precedented, that they will have divine help. They will have divine help. The Bible tells us, "At that time shall Michael stand up." Of course, what time is it? Chapter 11 is telling us what time it is. Israel will be invaded by the armies of the Antichrist. Israel will be invaded by the armies of the Libyans and the Ethiopians. And Israel will be invaded by the armies of the east, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 44. You maybe get a little insight into the present situation of the world. Yes, China appears to be one of the great world powers in end time. And China is not a sleeping giant that's just going to go off into sleep, but the Bible seems to indicate that China will be a great player in the last days. makes it clear that other nations that will be a part of this, talks about the kings of the north, probably speaks of Syria and Russia alliance, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians speak of Iran and Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And so the major players of Bible prophecy are taking place right now. And as much as you might want to say it's far off, it doesn't refer to me, I can go ahead and live the way I want. Really, that is the opposite message of the Bible. This is a time for the fear of the Lord to return. But the Bible tells us at this time that is going to be called Jacob's trouble. The Bible says that God will give divine help to the people of Israel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. Now, if you go in your Bible to the book of Revelation, we get a little insight. We get two insights. One is in Revelation 12. And it gives us the perspective that Satan's attack on Israel is all about preventing the return and the reign of Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. And, of course, we don't necessarily see things that way, but that's what the Bible is picturing. And so in Revelation chapter 12, it tells us about Israel, and she is represented by a woman. And verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And of course, this is referring to the Antichrist and his tail, Antichrist being indwelt by Satan's power. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. This is referring to the fact that one third of all the angels in heaven followed Satan in his rebellion against God. And he did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for her to deliver her child as soon as it was born. And this probably is as well referring to the fact when Jesus was born, immediately Herod, when he found out about the child was born, he ordered all the children in Bethlehem to be slaughtered, all the children from 2 years and younger, to prevent the Christ from coming to the cross. And the Bible says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And for those who are out in the amillennial crowd, Presbyterians, Reformed theology, and who say that there is no millennial, we're in the reign of Christ today, all you do is take him to this verse where it says that Christ will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And he is definitely not ruling the nations with a rod of iron right now. And the nations are in rebellion against God. and it says, and the woman fled and the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. There's the resurrection of Christ. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath prepared a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was there found any more place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, here we have a reference to Michael, as was referred to in Daniel, in the great, and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, and prevailed not. And so we recognize that Michael the archangel is stronger than Satan. And when the time comes, Michael will cast out Satan out of heaven. And that is going to specifically be that last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, in which Satan will be on this earth, and he will do everything in his power to prevent the coming of Christ and his millennial kingdom. And so here we find the insight into Michael, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, we have another aspect of this. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And there shall then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and with them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not on winter nor on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And here we have this time in which God will deliver his people. He will have a special place for them, and they will be protected by God in this terrible time of the tribulation. And so Daniel is telling the angel is telling Daniel this great truth. Well, number one, these are going to be terrible days. And this is going to be a terrible day like never was on the face of the earth. And, but Michael will watch over the people of Israel. Michael the archangel will watch over the people of Israel. Now, as I've mentioned before, we've seen precursors of that in recent history. In the Seven-Day War, Egyptians, when their mighty army of tanks and military equipment were defeated in just 7 short days. Think of all that oil wealth behind them. And the Egyptian tank drivers surrendered with their hands up. And they were asked, why would you surrender? And they said, we were surrounded. There was nothing else for us to do but surrender. What were they surrounded by? Angels. And so this is good news. That although all the forces of Satan and his nations that will do his bidding will be all against Israel. Can you imagine this? Russia, Arab nations, communist China, as well as the West, represented by the Antichrist. All the nations of the world will converge on Israel. And God says, Daniel, it's a time like as never will have ever happened in the history of the world. And yet, Michael, the angel, will protect your people. He will protect your people. And this is certainly emphasizing individual protection. I believe the protection will somehow be that the place that God's prepared for them is probably Edom. Remember, the Antichrist will not defeat Edom and Moab. As you, anybody who has toured Israel today remembers that the Edomite kingdom was a kingdom carved out of the rock of the mountains of Edom. And it was thought to be a kingdom that could never have been defeated. In my opinion, that is where God is going to protect the saved people as a group. And so he says, there's going to be a divine protection, a divine help for the people of God. Now, secondly, there is going to be a marvelous preservation of the nation. If you go back to Daniel, now remember, the purpose of the Antichrist is to destroy the nation Israel. And the purpose is in his own deceptiveness is that he will prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from returning to this earth and setting up his kingdom. Now you figure out, well, how could he be so twisted in his thinking? That's how evil is. Evil does not think logically. Do you know that? Sin is never logical thinking. Sin is always temporary insanity. And the devil will be the epitome of that. In his sin and rebellion against God, somehow he is going to deceive himself as though he can prevent Jesus Christ from coming and returning. Somehow that he can wipe out the nation of Israel so that the millennial kingdom will not exist on this earth, in which Israel will be the center of the millennial kingdom. And so we see Daniel 12, it says we can go back to the verse before that. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And none shall help him. The divine preservation of the family. The nation. Let's look at a couple of verses in the Bible today. I think it'd be good to look there. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Make it easy for you. It's the second to the last book in the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14. And it tells us in verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And we go on to the rest of the chapter. Even though all the nations of the world will be against Israel, and even though Israel has been the focus of Satan's opposition for hundreds of years, the nation will be preserved. And isn't it amazing? There's two things about Israel that are amazing. One of the smallest countries in the world. No bigger than 50 miles wide, and no longer than 150 miles long. A nation that isn't as wide as it is from here to Madison. And a nation that is not longer in length than it is from here to approximately Eau Claire. And it has been the center of the history of the world since its formation. Its people have been opposed and persecuted and sought out and killed and exterminated. And what has happened is only the beginning of what will be in the future. The Bible says it is what you've experienced in the past will be nothing like you will experience in the future. I wonder if Adolf Hitler, his plan of exterminating 15 million Jews, he only accomplished 5. And exactly is what the Antichrist will seek to do, exterminate the Jewish people. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that Israel will be in the future the center of the earth. The nation will be divinely preserved. And not only will it be the center of the world politically and physically, but it will be a nation that is in belief. They will have received Christ as their Savior. If you turn to Daniel, go back there a minute. It says in Daniel 1, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." Everyone that shall be found written in the book. It assumes a couple things. This statement. It assumes that Daniel knew what the book was. It assumes that Daniel knew the book, what the book was that people's name were written in. Now, in Exodus 32, verse 32, Moses knew about that book. And Moses said, "Now, God, if it's possible, I'd be willing to have my name taken out of that book if your people would believe on you." Moses knew about that book. And of course, that book is going to be opened at the White Throne Judgment Seat. And everyone who is not in that book is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And of course, that's what it says in Revelation chapter 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Before we go any further, obviously, what is it saying? It's saying that there's a book in heaven in which are written the names of the people that are saved. And only those people who have their name written in that book will go to heaven. And in this context, only those people whose names are in that book of the Jewish people, only those Jews will be delivered. And the Bible has a picture that of the Jewish people at the end time in the tribulation period, that two-thirds of them will be unbelievers. And one-third of them will have turned to Christ. And that one-third will be the ones that will be rescued by the Lord Jesus when he returns. You say, what about the other two-thirds? Well, remember what we've studied. Remember under Antiochus Epiphanes? Under Antiochus Epiphanes, he said, now we're no going to have any more Jewish customs. We're going to have no more sacrifice at the temple. We aren't going to have any observance of the Sabbath. You're all going to become Greeks. You're all going to become heathen in your practices. And we learned that Judas Maccabeus, his father, as the Jewish priest says, no, our family is not going to go along with this. But all the other priests did. All the other priests did. The great majority of the Jewish people at that time became like the world. They weren't afraid to become like the world. They weren't afraid to change their clothes and become like the world. They weren't afraid to look like the world. They wanted to. You know, there was going to be reward if they would give up their faith. And so I think the same picture is exactly what's going to take place in tribulation period. In fact, if you know anything about Israel today, you know that most of Israel is not religious. You know that. Most of Israel is secular. Most of Israel today does not believe in the Bible. And that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation period, is that most of Israel will be willing to to forsake the truth, because they don't even know what it is. And they will gladly usher in the Antichrist. And they will receive him. And they'll follow him. They'll take his mark. They'll become rich under his system. But there will be those who refuse. And there will be those who, in that great time of trouble, will come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Malachi tells us that that time will be a time of purification. It'll be a time of purifying of the nation of Israel and of the Jewish people. And and that will be exactly what is going to take place. It will be a day of purifying of the nation. It says in Malachi 4:1, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow as calves of the stall." And there's many other verses about the purifying of the people of God at that particular time. And so it will be a time of the miraculous restoration and preservation of the nation as yet coming. The third thing that we see that's encouragement to Daniel, not only that the nation will be preserved and will become the center of the earth as prophesied, and that the people of God will be divinely helped by Michael the archangel, but thirdly, notice what it says. It says in verse number 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, Bible makes it clear that except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. And what's it talking about? It's talking about the fact that the Antichrist will be about to kill everyone who will not take the mark of the beast. Now you think about it. Hitler made a decision he was going to kill every Jew. But he didn't reach his goal, did he? He didn't reach his goal. He tried. He tried. But you know, 5 or 6 years, he didn't reach his goal. There's millions that he missed. And the Antichrist will make the decree that no man can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. Anybody who will not bow down and worship the image of the beast life will be taken. But it will take time. It take time to do it. Now the Bible says it'd be a time of betrayal. It'd be a time of betrayal. There'd be children who turn their fathers in. There'd be parents who turn their children in. Be a time of betrayal. Because there will be great reward for those, monetary and political reward for those who will turn in anybody who will not take the mark of the beast. But the Antichrist will not be totally successful. But many, many, many will die. In Revelation chapter 14, we have a picture of how many people are going to die in that tribulation period. Revelation chapter 14. If I'm in the right place. Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. These were they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins there which follow the Lamb whithersoever he go. These were redeemed from God. And I saw, let's see, where am I? I think I should be in Revelation 7. Okay, let's go back there. Verse 13. Verse 11. And the angel stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne. And verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Okay, let's go back. Verse 9. This is where I want to be. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Verse 13, and it says, who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, Daniel takes another step. Revelation talks about these people in heaven because they have been slain by the Antichrist. But Daniel takes it another step and another perspective. In Daniel chapter 12, it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So here all these Jewish people died. They died for their faith. And you say, what a great loss. You say, what a great loss. They died. They were slain. They were tortured. They were butchered. One would think that the invention of the death that the Antichrist and these enemies of God will. You think ISIS is bad. And you say, what a loss, what a terrible thing. And the angel is saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Daniel. There's going to be a resurrection. Those who died in Christ, those who died as believers, they're going to stand again. They're going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be alive again. They'll walk on this earth again. They'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The gloomy picture isn't so gloomy now. They died, and it was a horrific death probably. But guess what? The beast and the Antichrist, false prophet, going to be cast into the lake of fire. All the nations that to forget God will be turned into hell. God shall laugh at them. But what about the believers? The believers will rise again. You know, in Russia under the communist reign between 1968 to 1988, the persecuted church, they were the Christians who said, we are not going to come any longer under the government auspices. We're not going to let them tell us what to do or what to preach. We're not going to keep silent. We're going to witness. We're going to raise our children for God. We're going to take our children to church. We're going to preach whatever the Bible says. We're not going to allow KJB agents in our churches. And it was called the Underground Church, but they weren't underground. They met. They met in the public. They met in the woods. And they were the persecuted church. And they would give the flavor of that Russian church and its strength. The favorite greeting would be, "The Lord is risen." And the greeting in reply would be, "He is risen indeed." Why, they were a people who were facing death, imprisonment, loss of all that this earth could give them. And their focus was on the resurrection. Their focus was on the resurrection. And Daniel is told some good news. In the midst of all the bad news about what's going to happen to the Jewish people and yet to happen, he said, "I got to tell you, there's some really, really good news. There's a resurrection." He says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Now, notice the parallels here. Notice the parallels. Here's the resurrection. And then what does it say about these that are resurrected? What does it say? "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Does it click with you? What's it saying? Now we say, well, we're talking about saved people. Right? Their name's written in the book of life. Yeah. But what does it say about them? It says they're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. But who are they? It says they that turn many to righteousness. I'm trying to paint a picture here. You know what? We live in a day in which Christianity has been clouded by neutralism. Neutralism. Many are afraid to confess Jesus Christ today. The typical Christian was everything they can do to avoid the scorn and the scoffing of the unsaved world. The typical teenager that is in neutral territory is one who is afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ. An old saying we used to have when I was a youth pastor was either young people give out the gospel or they give it up. Either young people give out the gospel or they give it up. And here we have the tribulation period. Here we have the wickedness that's going to prevail in the tribulation period. Here we have the compromise and the wholesale surrender to the Antichrist and his religion. And here we have the threat of death to follow Jesus Christ. And in the midst of it, there's this whole crowd. And you know what they're doing? They're not hiding. They're not staying out of the picture. They're on the forefront of the battle. They are turning many to righteousness. They are on the offensive. They are witnessing. They're proclaiming the truth. They're standing for what's right. The book of Proverbs says, he that winneth souls is wise. Here it says, the wise are those that turn many to righteousness. Isn't that amazing? The neutral crowd is the crowd that's trying to get close to the world. The neutral crowd is trying to get the approval of the world as much as they can. The thinking is all permeated with the world's thinking. Revelation calls it the lukewarm church, the Laodicean church. Kind of fits into today, doesn't it? Kind of fits into where the problem is today. I think a couple of verses, I think of Matthew 10:32-33. He that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He that will not confess me before men, him neither will I confess him before my Father which is in heaven. Think of the disciples. They met the Lord Jesus. The ruler said, don't you dare speak in his name again. That's it. And they said, we cannot but speak in his name. We cannot but do it. To know Jesus Christ is so transforming and so wonderful and so real. We can't stop. Even though you tell us to stop, we can't. Why? Because Jesus Christ is real. Salvation is real. He's got good news. Now the world said, oh, look at, they're losers. Just lost their life. You know what? If they would have just kept quiet. If they would have just kept quiet. You know, they might have made it through. If they would have just stopped witnessing. I mean, why did they have to do that? Why do they have to hand out those Bible pamphlets? Just, you know, be a silent witness. I was talking to this Amish fellow. I says, well, the Bible says you're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, well, we figure that we'll, by our lifestyle, we'll win people to Christ. And I said, you know, the problem with that is, it's not what the Bible says. How shall they believe on him on whom they have not heard? And this man was humble enough to say, you're right. They call it the new neutrality. The new neutrality. Young person, who are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to stand up for God? Why are you trying to be like the world? Instead of the world downing your righteousness, you ought to be trying to turn the world into righteousness. Amen? That's the picture in tribulation period. What a great thought, isn't it? And you know, Daniel was encouraged by the divine enablement and help of the people of God. But think about this great promise that we have. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't that a divine promise? Isn't that a divine promise? It is, isn't it? A divine promise. And we have our missionaries right here. I dare say that most of you wouldn't want to live where they live. I dare say most of you wouldn't want to live where Nathan and Laura Roberts live. Every day having a house next to you be invaded by thieves. Not a safe land. But guess what? Divine promise. Amen. Lo, I am with you always. The divine promise. But with that divine promise, there is that divine, there's that blessing of divine, experiencing the divine work of God in our life. You know what? Worst thing that ever could happen to these people is for them to not do God's will. Do you think they would have five precious children who have a heart for God if they were out of God's will? No. I know better than that. Divine help. And there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Man. And the Lord says, no man hath left house or home or wife or brethren or sisters or husband and wife and lands for my sake in the gospel that shall not receive a hundredfold. And in this and in eternity, life everlasting. Wow. You know, that's kind of a perspective we need to get back to, isn't it? There's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. This isn't the end of our life. This is just the first phase. Right? It's just the first phase. And it's a short one. It's a short phase. It's only for a few years. Eternity is a long time. I mean, it's a long time. And we worry about what it would cost us to accept Christ as our Savior. We worry about what it would cost us to follow the Lord. We worry about what some human being that is going to die and go to hell will think about us. We don't love the souls of men enough to be on the forefront for God. And for truth, Daniel, don't be discouraged. The trouble's coming, but Michael the archangel is going to be protecting his people. You know, the nation is going to go through difficult times, but let me tell you, the nation is not going to be exterminated. Instead, that nation will be the center of the world. And besides all this, all those who seemingly gave up their life to follow Christ, they're going to stand once again. And they're going to rule and reign with Christ. And they're going to live with Him forever and ever. Wow. You know what the Bible's saying? It's saying, as bad as things are, we're still on the victory side. As bad as things may appear, we're always on the victory side. And so, what's your perspective today? Living for today? Afraid to stand up for God? Afraid you're going to lose something? Living like this life is all there is to it? No. That's not true at all, is it? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? The most perverted religion in the world, the Islamic faith. These people are willing to die for their perverted thinking. And we who have eternal life are afraid to give away our life for God. Let us be encouraged in the Lord. Let us be encouraged in the Lord. Let us have the right perspective of life. And make our decisions based on true facts. Now, the first truth fact we got to, as we close, is your name written in the book of life. I didn't say is your name written in a church roll. I didn't say, is your name written on the donor list from Waukesha Memorial Hospital? I didn't ask that. No, is your name written in the book of life? It's called the Lamb's book of life. And Jesus Christ was the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And that book is for the answer to the question, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm not talking about what have you done with your religion. I'm talking about what have you done with Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross to pay the complete penalty for your sin. Have you trusted Him and Him alone as the payment of your sin? Are you trusting Him plus your good works, plus your religion, or plus anything else? If you are, you're not trusting Him alone. It's only for those who realize that there is no one good enough to get to heaven. We're all wicked sinners. And that only Jesus Christ has provided for our sin on Calvary's cross. That's who's in that book. Is your name written in that book? The Bible says when your name's written in that book, you become a new creature. You say, how could these people live for God and face death? You know why? Because they got a new heart. And found out what they found. They got a new heart. Got a new life. Got the Spirit of God living within them. And they realized it was worth it. So is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you here today? Are you afraid to stand up for what's right and turn many to righteousness? Has the world nullified your zeal your humility, your obedience. On the other hand, if you give your life to Christ and follow Him, you're not giving up anything. Amen? You're not giving up anything. You're going to stand again for a long time. You're going to stand again for a long time and rule and reign with Him. It's a matter of perspective. You know what? This life is short. Anybody here that's 18? Anybody here 18? Raise your hand if you're 18. You're 18. You know what? I remember when I was 18. When I was 18, it seems like it was yesterday. It seems like it was yesterday. Life is short. Life is so short. Live it for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we can be helped today in the midst of all the negatives. It seems to live for God, we can be encouraged, just as Daniel was encouraged, that You're in control and it's going to go according to Your plan. And that, Lord, we can be encouraged today that it is going to go according to Your plan. Now, we thank You, Lord, that we aren't going to be here for the tribulation period. That is a great blessing. But, Lord, our life will be over, whether it be by natural causes or other. And then we will face eternity forever and ever. And I pray that we will be ready, that we will live our life as a Christian ought to live it. I pray to encourage young people in this day in which all these things are coming into being, the downturn of the morals and of Christianity in these days, all these things, the lining up of the nations against Israel. All these things are getting into place, Lord. Might we realize that the spirit of the Antichrist is in the air. The spirit of iniquity does already work. Help us not to be caught up in it and to be put to sleep. But help us, Lord, to be people who, Lord, will be among that number that the Bible says are wise, that give their life to spread the gospel, to stand for righteousness, to influence purposely the world for God and Christ and the gospel. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. I pray.